Hi, it's so good to see all your beautiful faces. I've been reminded to, if you speak, please sign the waiver and also to speak into the mic. And if you want to turn your cell phones off, that would be a good time to do that. Do you want to start with the serenity prayer? God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So this conference is on gratitude, and I don't know about you, but I have a lot of gratitude today, thank God. I will pass around my pictures. I'm not that person anymore, so I definitely belong here. Since I was 13, I was over 200 pounds. I could not stop eating. And I'm definitely grateful that I have been relieved of the obsession for food today. I have a daily reprieve. I will never be cured. I know that because I tried to be cured when I first got here in 1998. I lost all my weight, and I found a sponsor the first time. She was thin, and she was standing by the door. She had what I wanted. That was all I wanted, really, when I got here, was to be thin. And she took me through the steps, and I had arrived. I hit maintenance weight, and I was good to go. You know, I was 9 months abstinent, and food inventory, step maintenance, did the whole deal. And from then, I couldn't put any time together after I slipped the first time. And for 10 years, I struggled with my abstinence. And I don't wish that on anyone, because it really is torture. Knowing what you know and being abstinent and then not being abstinent and not being able to stop eating is like the worst hell I ever lived, you know, and I've been through a lot. So I don't ever want to do that again. I'm grateful that I have my sponsor here. She supports me so much, like more than anybody's ever supported me in my life. And I had a sponsor when I came back the first time, and I was losing my house, and a lot of stuff was going on, and she didn't say anything. So I called Ruth, and she told me, well, what are you afraid of? And I was like, well, I'm afraid of being homeless. She's like, so what if that happens? I was like, oh, I guess I'll be homeless. And I got relief from the fear that I've never had before. And it changed my life because I actually had direction. I felt like there was a solution she had for me. And I asked her to sponsor me, and I was surprised when she said she would. And it has been the best journey I will ever. I just can't even imagine, like, not having my sponsor to guide me every day and to help me and to change my life on a daily basis, because my thinking is distorted. It will always be distorted. That's not something will ever change. I have a disease of perception. I have a disease that tells me I don't need to, you know, be grateful. I have nothing to be grateful for. My life is shit. What the hell? You know, that's what my head tells me on a daily basis sometimes. Not as much, but the things that I've experienced as a result of being sponsored is freedom. Freedom from the obsession. Freedom from that constant, you know, just, oh my God, it's just relentless. I have peace today. There's been so much work that I've done as a result. I didn't even know what to do with my eating, let alone my life, you know. I don't have the answers for myself. And I'm thankful that my sponsor has been there, and she can point out the potholes, is what she says. And she knows me way better than I know myself. And I would not be the person I am today without her guidance and direction. And I know she gets that from God. You know, she's not my higher power. I understand that. And the relationships that we have in this program is amazing. You know, being sponsored is a gift. And sponsoring is a gift. It really is. Because I am a person that I don't want a relationship. I don't want to deal with any of that. That's too much for me. It's too hard. I don't want to do it. I run. I don't talk. I don't tell you the truth, first of all. I hide. I don't know who I am, so how am I supposed to tell you or show up for you? Like, that's not happening. And I get to sponsor and be sponsored. So if I don't have an answer for my sponsees, then I ask my sponsor. And if she doesn't know, she will ask somebody else. I mean, she has been around for over 31 years, so I'm amazed every day that I don't have to do this alone. And I thought I could. I thought I was supposed to. Growing up in a home where I was taught you need to be self-sufficient, you need to take care of it yourself. You don't have people to guide you and tell you how to do things. That's not an option. Asking questions is not an option. You should know. Well, I don't know how I'm supposed to know, but I'm just supposed to know. So I don't ask questions. I don't talk. I'm not doing that. I'm not having a conversation with you. That's no. Why would I do that? So this is what makes my life unmanageable. I don't know about you, but, you know, talking to people is not my thing, and I don't know how to do it, so I get to learn. I get to learn to talk to somebody every day. I get to learn how to express myself in a kind and loving way, which I don't know how to do that. That's not where I come from. A lot of my relationship issues have been, you know, rooted in my basic relationships with my family, and they didn't know how to do it, obviously, so they didn't teach me how to do it. So I get to learn here. I get to learn how to not eat compulsively on a daily basis, which is a miracle, but the living part is what I need help with, you know. I can stop eating. I know how to do a diet. I know how to follow a food plan. I don't know how to live. I don't know how to do that. And as a result of getting guidance, I get to be a person that I'm proud of today. I get to be kind and loving and look at myself and look at why I'm bothered. If my sponsor is my problem, I have more problems than I'm... I'm in a lot of trouble because she's the one that helps me, you know, and I get guidance and directions. And everything that I've ever done in my life that she has directed me to do, I've never regretted. It's never hurt me. It's always helped me. So why wouldn't I want to talk to somebody like that, you know, who supports me and helps me? I'm grateful to sponsor. I'm grateful that I get to answer the phone every morning. It gives me, you know, a routine. We get our routine. And just saying the Serenity Prayer and starting my day with God, and passing on what was given to me, you know. My life has changed as a result of doing this program, as a result of being sponsored. And then if people want what I have, they'll do what I do, because that's what we do here, you know. I can do my own thing, but that really doesn't serve me, and it doesn't help me. And I'm amazed. I'm just amazed. I don't even know how to describe the freedom and the happiness that I've gotten as a result of doing this. You know, the staying abstinent and doing what I need to do on a daily basis is a gift. And I do the next right thing. And my life is so much easier. It's just really simple. And I want to pass that on to other people. I want to help other people, you know, change their lives just like I was been changed, and I get to be an example of that. And there are a couple things in the sponsor guidelines that I don't know if you talked about very much, but to be a food sponsor, you need 30 days. And then to be an inventory sponsor, you need 60 days. And then to be a step sponsor, you need 60 days. And then to be a maintenance sponsor, you need 90 days. So I didn't know all that, and I didn't understand it, but I definitely get it now. There's a reason for that. You know, I can't pass on something I haven't gotten. And there's the guidelines are outlined for a reason, and I'm grateful for them. It's all written down. It's not something I have to make up. And, you know, if somebody is not interested in following the directions, like, I don't make the directions. It's not a personal thing. It's not my plan. It's not my, you know, I'm just passing on the way it's written because that's what I do. Because when I do that, it works. So why wouldn't I want to do that? I mean, it's not rocket science. I don't have to make it up. And I'm grateful for that. It's written down and there's guidance and direction and things that, you know, I was taught too to read the book with a dictionary because I don't know all the words and the definitions of things, you know. So to learn different ways of thinking, different things, because I need a shift in my attitude and perception constantly. That's a spiritual experience. I need that all the time. I can't make it up. And if it's written down, you know, people ask me, what's this food? Or when can we eat this food? You know, I'm like, well, there's a book. Let's look at the book. I don't even say that I know what the book says. I'm 16 years abstinent, you know. I don't know it by heart. I don't know what it says. So let's look at it together, you know. I don't make it up, and I don't have to. And that's a gift, you know, to be on solid footing, to be able to know that I don't make this up, and it's not personal. And I have had people, you know, just recently somebody said that I've seen a lot of people come and go, and usually they're not surrendered to whatever it says. I would stand on my head on the freeway, eat grass, whatever, if it worked, if that helped me, you know, if that's what somebody told me to do. And my sponsors never told me anything to do that hasn't helped me and that she hasn't done, you know. It's all working the program. She says that to be a good sponsor, you work a good program, and you're a good example. And I show up, I do service, I do it as it's written, because it works. Like, I don't have to make it up. It's really such a miracle just to be relieved of the compulsion to eat and to pass that on to other people and to save their lives. You know, when I got here, I wanted to die. I didn't want to live anymore. And now I have a life worth living. And it's a direct result of working this program. And I don't know how much you can, you know, you can say about just passing that on to somebody else and saving their life. You know, why wouldn't you want to do that? That's an honor and a privilege. And we get to do that here. And I don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted. And it really is a miracle just not to have to eat today and kill myself. So how long did I talk? Good enough? All right. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mary. I'm a compulsive eater. I'll pass around my pictures. Today, I'm 13 years and 19 days abstinent with a 70-pound weight release, 110 from my top weight, maintaining since March of 2010. I'm a food inventory step maintenance and tradition sponsor. And when we were got the topic about sponsorship, I woke up one morning and I had this thought, a day in the life of being a sponsor and having a sponsor. And because I need a story to like figure out what's going on. And so pretty much my whole life right now probably started with as the discipline and structure, as it talks about in the concept, through sponsoring and being sponsored. So when I first got to CHOW, there were two things. I walked into my meeting at Monte Vista Hospital in Las Vegas. It was July 4th, and there was a literature table that had every single piece of available literature that CHOW had. And immediately for me, when I walked in and saw all the literature, one, I knew that it had been a group effort, because I know a piece of literature just doesn't arrive. You know, a bunch of people have to work on it. And for me, I needed a group conscience. I was recovering in spirit, mind, and body from a pretty dogmatic way to live, and I was told one person's way was the only way to do something. So the literature gave me the freedom to understand that there were more options. Then the second is I got a sponsor. And the first thing was she told me what time to call her. And that began the basis of structure and discipline and sponsorship. It was very inconvenient time. I mean, it was like, it was at 5:30 p.m., right? I got off work and I had my question written, and then I would stop at a gas station on the way home and pull into the parking lot in order to turn over my question. I don't recall ever seeing if she could change my time. I don't. Which astounds me, right? Because in the guy, what's so great about the literature is, as Debbie was saying, everything that I might need to know initially to actually begin the framework is written in a piece of literature. And in it, it encourages us to share our experience, strength, and hope, our honesty, our path to discipline. I was living a chaotic life. I was to get up 4 minutes before I was leaving the house to go to work. You know, I would just determine, did I need to wash my hair or not, you know, like just so I could stay in the bed, to someone now who is up probably 3 hours earlier than I need to be anywhere. And this is the stuff that has really helped me. And I don't know why I feel so nervous, because sometimes I don't think I have value in what I'm saying, except I have been sponsoring for a long time, and I'm on my fourth sponsor. My first two sponsors left the program, traumatizing, super traumatizing, right?
I thought you meant because of you.
Yeah, no. Well, probably I thought that at times that I would have been, you know, because they chose to leave. And the second one, I thought it was a choice for me. I really questioned, should I stay or should I go? Because I had given that much higher power status to her. I really credited her with a lot of change for me. Because she presented information to me that I had not yet heard. It never had registered. So when she left, I knew I had a decision. And I had to really get quiet with myself and reestablish the reasons why I was in See How. And I knew that if I left, if I walked away, that I would be compulsively eating probably in 2 days. I suffer from no delusion that I am a compulsive eater. In that one picture, that is the first day of second grade, I am already overweight. So I was a fat kid. I was a fat adult. I have been fat my whole life. And so obviously I needed something different, you know. And I have a higher power. I don't always talk about higher power, because that's another thing I was recovering from when I got here, was my relationship to my higher power. But as I approach sponsorship and being sponsored, I do ask for orderly direction. I ask for wisdom. I ask for the ability to listen, to show up. So for me to prepare for that, in the morning, I make sure that when I wake up, I have to write my question in the morning. I can't do it at night. So I get up in time to have my question ready. I've done my reading. I'm prepared. I am ready for when I'm going to call my sponsor, that I'm ready. And then I am also ready to receive the call. So when my calls come in, I have completed my breakfast, made my bed. Like, I tend to sit in the same chair. I really make an effort to have no distractions when I'm taking the call, so that I can give that, it's a respect for me. Part of the discipline and structure. That is my favorite line in all of See How literature and the concept. A disciplined and structured approach. I know what time I go to work. It's the making of the time and giving of myself to other people with a willingness that I didn't have. I do things so willingly now that was from my rebellion. I went from rebellion to willingness. And I will say this, as I will begin to close, that it was also recommended to me, you can let the literature sponsor, right? Like I can use that as backup. And I can always use go up the chain, right? I can call my sponsor. I have a lot of wisdom up the chain, people I dearly respect, guidance. And, you know, God can do, God does more than one thing with one thing. I learned that. Someone told me that a long time ago. That has been very helpful to me. And and really, I can avail myself to the literature.
Say that again. Could you repeat the last statement?
God can do more than one thing with one thing. And so the other thing I do too is I read chapter 7 in the big book, Working with Others. And there's a lot of times when I'm using the big book where I change the we's and them's to I's, and then I say it out loud. You know, I am here to help. I'm here to help. And if that is not what you want, I'm only trying to be helpful. And I have found a way. Compulsive eating humbled me. It really humbled me. And I don't know why I cry all the time when I speak. I always wonder, it's like, when will that heal? But anyway, and the other piece of literature was the recommitment questions. That's where I got lost on track. The sponsor I got when the second one left, she recommended, she really brought me back focused, back to see how, with very see how focused, and recommended I do the recommitment questions. And I avail myself to being sponsored, and then I pass it on. Right now I have 3 sponsees. I had never met any of them, the current ones, face to face. I went my first one last night here. And more recently with newcomers. So when I have a newcomer, and I actually have 2 sponsees who just got to maintenance, so I make sure that I have my food plan out with me when they call in case I have to answer a question. You know, sponsoring on maintenance is interesting because I sponsor somebody that can have a whole lot of extra food. You know, learning that navigation of sponsoring is where I really rely on the help of other people in the program too, on how can I guide this person? What might need to be increased? Reinforcing, you know, it tells you exactly here, you're over 3 pounds and take out the food. You only introduce foods, this is on maintenance, you know, in a 2-week increment. So I familiarize myself with the literature again. And that's basic. I'll keep them if you could just pick them up. This is on page 6 of the guidelines. It's sponsor checklist. It just gives you ideas if you're first maybe working with someone, what they recommend that they get, the scales, the cups, you know, reading the labels. You know, canned tomatoes didn't used to have sugar. Now all of a sudden they put sugar in canned tomatoes. You know, like these are the things I learned in program, some of the things I try to pass on. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for Debbie. So anyway, I'm glad to be here today. Thank you.
Good job. Yes. All righty. So we had some questions if you want to maybe answer them or share your experience, strength, and hope. Just make sure you sign the waiver. And if you want, there's some wipes here. Feel more comfortable. Did you want to pick them? Okay. Do you feel that being a sponsor is the greatest service you do and see how? Why or why not? Does anybody want to share on that question? Or anything on your heart? Come on up, Diane.
I came into program in 1985. In Gracie in Connecticut. And then I moved to Vegas 10 years or so later, and I didn't know anything about CHOW, and there was no Gracie. And so I went to regular OA and I gained 90 pounds back. And then I met Ann H. People from Vegas may know her. She told me about Howe, and I started coming to Howe. And I've seen these three ladies for the last 20 or more years, staying abstinent year after year. I have almost three years of back-to-back abstinence right now. It took me 20-something years to get that abstinence back. I kept picking up. I didn't think I would ever be abstinent again, and I was giving up. And then one day, I just wanted to die. I wanted to kill myself. And I had a vision. My mother said, Diane, you have three children. You can't do that. And I don't know what happened, but I walked into the Sunday morning 10 o'clock meeting at the Stairway Club in Vegas that I used to go to a lot, and I just surrendered. And there were six women there, five of them I knew, and they said, we've been waiting for you to come back. And that really, and then the sixth one that I didn't know, I became my sponsor. And I don't know how people do this program without a sponsor. I mean, the sponsor is not everything, but she's everything. Every phone call I make is my sponsor. Every time I do an outreach, that's my sponsor. Every time somebody calls me, that's a sponsor. I had quite a challenge recently. One of the girls that I sponsor, and not all of my sponsors live out of state. I've not met any of them. Yeah, and two of them I've never seen on Zoom. However, this one girl decided to go vegan. And now she's telling me all these things, and I don't have the answers to anything. So I called a couple of people that I know and found out that they're doing a vegan thing, and they're writing. There was workshops recently with all these things about plant-based foods and all, and the World Service is working on all this. So I got a few hints to give her, and so now she and I are learning together. I'm not going to go vegan. Although I eat very, very little meat. I do tend to eat vegetables and, you know, protein that's not meat more than anything, but I'm not vegan, so I didn't know the answers. But you can, like she said, both of them said, you can find the answers by calling other people. And I don't know, the other thing I want to say is I'm so grateful, really, really grateful, and grateful to be making new friends as I'm meeting new people here. Thank you.
Question was, do you feel that being a sponsor is the greatest service to you that you do, and see how, why, or why not? Or anything else that you want to share?
I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to learn about the program in 1996. And back then, I was doing news reporting. And I was unable, every time I used to go on the air, I would just throw up, basically, before going on the air. And HR, a wonderful woman in HR, saw probably what I was going through, and she referred me to the program. She referred me back a few years before, but I heard everyone talking about emotions and spirituality, and that was not what was perhaps what I thought I needed. So I surrendered in 96 because my other sponsor, my AA sponsor, said, if you don't go to AA, excuse me, if you don't go to Sia Howe, I'm not going to continue to be your sponsor. She was already in Sia Howe. I stayed as in the program for 11 years until I got pregnant at 45 again. And I came back recently, 2 years ago. And your sharing really touched me, because it felt like, yes, we were waiting for you. We were waiting for you. And that, I believe, was a little voice that I also heard in abstinence, in sobriety. You're going to find a new home. And this has been my new home. This has been my new home. And I cannot keep it if I don't give it away. I cannot keep it if I don't give it away. So sponsoring is a key factor in my in my abstinence. But more than that, because I have such a big ego, you know, this ego that I love. I'm not going to deny how grateful I am also to my ego. It feeds me every day. You know, my ego allows me to go to work and to do my best because I'm hard with myself. And I need to protect myself. And I know that if it wasn't for this ego, I would probably be dead today. So the cure to this monster ego, it's service. It's service. The cure for the greatest monster that I've known, which is my ego, is service. So sponsorship is the key for my abstinence. But service is definitely the cure for my ego. I do service every morning from Monday to Friday. I open up a meeting in Zoom. No matter what, no matter what, if 10, 12, 13, 6, 3, 2 people show up, I'm there. And that, am I going to be the only one in the meeting? It's the way my ego responds to what it's known as humble. It's okay, I can be dragged by the ego because I'm going to be probably lonely. And I have not been lonely. It's a miracle every time I go into the Zoom and there's another compulsive overeater. And it is, I was waiting for her. We're waiting for you. And this is your first time. Welcome home. Thank you so much for letting me be of service.
My name's Lois. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Lois.
I too, like you, am scared to get out of this program. I know it, I know in my heart, if I leave this program, I'll be right back to where I was before, and I don't like it there. I've been in this program for 7 months. I've lost 52 pounds, and I am now available to sponsor 3 food inventory and step. And I'm scared. I'm not a sponsor. I have not sponsored anyone. But it's really scary to have that responsibility. Anyway, I'll do my best and just keep going because I know that's how you grow, but it's a real fear.
Hello, my name is Loretha and I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Loretha.
And sponsoring, I have to have a sponsor in order to be a sponsor. And I mean, that's just the way it works for me. And it's no way I can get around that, you know. And, you know, what am I going to tell sponsees if I don't have a sponsor telling me? And the program says that in order to keep it, I have to give it away. But I say also for me, in order to keep it, I have to receive it. And I got to receive from my sponsor. And I don't see how people, I really absolutely do not see how people in the program can work a program without having someone to call every morning. I call my sponsor every morning. And if she's not going to be available, then she'll let me know, you know, ahead of time. I can't, you know, because she has a job that's very demanding. And sometimes she can't be available. And she'll say, call someone else. And sometimes I'll say, I don't want to call nobody else. I want to call you. And we have a big laugh about it. You know? So the day before yesterday, she was getting ready. She's here. And she was getting ready to come. And I was getting ready to come. And she says, I had to, my other sponsee. I said, other sponsee? What are you talking about, other sponsee? She said, to her, I was talking to her, and that's why I was running over with you. And she said, and she was going to explain. I said, it ain't no explanation. You don't talk to anybody else. Me, I said, I'm going to have one of those things that kids have when they fall out on the floor and kick and scream. So we just laughed a lot about it because I get to do that with my sponsor. I get to have joy. I get to have a whole lot of humor, and I get to have a whole lot of good, sound direction. And she, you know, she's very firm, and she's very loving, she's very kind, but she's also, you know, we can laugh together, we can discuss stuff together, and you know, and especially about kids, you know, and I tell her some, you know, tell her things about my kids sometimes, and she tell me about her kids, you know, we just do that kind of thing. But it is a joy to have a sponsor. It absolutely is. My sponsor does not have to be my friend. And I told her that, I've told every sponsor that before I start working for you. I don't care if you ever be my friend, you don't even have to like me. I want you to be my sponsor first. You know, have that good, sound direction. And that's what I try to give my sponsees, sound direction. I don't care if they like me, and I don't want them to want me to like them. We have to get the program. That's what the main key is. So for me, sponsoring means doing the program, working it, and being of service to others. Thanks.
Thank you, Loretta.
Just a quick thing about sponsorship is that I believe our program is not meant to be done alone. We need sponsors, and we need to be sponsors so that we are not doing the program alone. Going to a meeting is not enough. Meetings are great. I've never been to a bad meeting, but we need that individual connection with other people as well. My theory that I share with others when they ask for the food plan, well, let me just try the food plan. But if we do that, then it's called a diet. We're making it a diet. And how many of us have been successful with diets, and especially with the maintenance part of diets? Not me. But with sponsorship, both sponsoring and being a sponsee, I'm not doing it alone. That's just the way that we eat our food, but it's not a diet. It takes away that conception of being the word diet. That's how it helps me. Thanks.
Thank you. Here's another good question. DNR, discuss and reflect on the concept that we can help another compulsive eater when no others can. So I know for me, discuss and reflect on the concept that we can help another compulsive eater when no one else can.
I wouldn't listen to anybody else because they didn't understand what I was talking about when I binged and I stuck my finger down my throat and vomited all the time. But another compulsive eater understands. So that's why I sponsor. You know, there's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. You know, it's another person suffering like I am, and we're just helping each other. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
As soon as you asked that question, the first thing that came to mind, and I was even thinking about this before the question came up, but as a teacher, you know, we do IEPs, individual educational plans, and I believe that that's true for all of us. We're all different, and there's been so many times, I don't know if this will relate, but I'll sit in the back, and I won't share, and I won't say anything, and that happened during a meeting the other day, and right after we got off the phone, I received a phone call, and this individual said, I so relate to you, and I thought back to myself, what did I say? And so to me, it's like sometimes when we don't think that we have, you know, anything worthwhile to share, just the connection, it could be looks, it could be the smile, it could be whatever, we just connect differently with different people. So going back to the question, you know, what maybe one sponsor isn't the right, you know, we're not all right for each and every one. That's okay. We can still love one another, but, you know, sometimes we just different personalities match. And so I'm sitting there back there going, defiance, willingness. And I could be so defiant sitting back there going, I'm not going to step forward because I don't have anything special to say and I don't want to say anything. And I'm a crier. So anyway, sometimes I just put one foot in front of the other and maybe somebody else is in the group, you know, going through the same thing I am. And that's IEP to me. You know, we're all individuals. Some of us are very emotional. I consider myself an empath. you know, I just, my husband is complete opposite as a firefighter too. But, you know, I can feel you before I even have met you. And that's very, it can be very weighing and emotional on me. And I've eaten over that. So IEP, just individual. And we can, you know, what one sponsor may say. In fact, my sponsees, and that's what the 3 phone calls a day, you know, also help. Because you have made that call to your sponsor, and they've led you, right? We're all facilitators of this program. And so we're facilitating the program the best that we can. But sometimes even that phone call out to others, they also guide us and direct us and may say something that our sponsor didn't say to us that helped us that day, you know, make further steps into the program and get out of our defiance. So one step at a time. Thanks.
Thanks, Tammy.
I'm a compulsive overeater.
Algo que he aprendido yo.
Something that I've learned.
Es a ver a las personas como personas.
It's to look at individuals, primero, at people.
No como la gorda.
As individual, not like the fat
no como
one.
La flaca.
The thin one.
Porque eso me enseñaron de
Because
pequeña.
Since I was little, that's what I was taught.
Y he aprendido que es una persona con capacidad, incapacidad.
That there are people, espérate, with the ability to do something and abilities and capabilities of doing others.
Y con Sia Hao,
and with Sia Hao,
lo volví a confirmar.
I reconfirmed that.
Yo te veo como una persona.
I see you all
una
as individuals.
Una persona muy importante.
Important individuals.
Me veo como una persona que tengo una enfermedad.
I see myself also with a condition,
que no es mi culpa,
and it is not my fault.
Pero sí mi responsabilidad atenderla.
But it is my responsibility to really tend to it.
Y cuando yo hablo,
when I speak
contigo,
when I talk to you,
con tu parte persona,
when I address you
también
personally,
soy yo. Cuando tú eres tú, yo soy yo.
It's you, and it is you, and it's me.
Y cuando tú eres mi espejo,
and when you're my mirror,
eres mi espejo.
You are
yo me veo
my
en
mirror.
Ti.
I am able to reflect.
Te veo enojada.
I see you upset.
Y digo, ¿así reacciono yo a veces?
And then I question, do I also react that way myself?
Te veo radiante. Y
when I see you sparkling, radiant.
Porque he visto en Sia Hao gente muy delgada.
Because I have seen people
pero
in Sia Hao really thin.
Pero muerta, sí.
But some of us
no es feliz.
Dead. Some of us feel like
digo,
dead, not happy. We need to be happy.
Y Sia Hao tiene 12 promesas.
Sia Hao has 12 promises.
Y cuando yo hablo de te entiendo y me entiendo.
And when I talk, I understand you, and you understand me.
Yo puedo hablar de ti a través de mí.
I am able to speak to you through my feelings.
Yo te entiendo muy bien.
I understand you well.
Yo estoy pasando por eso y pasé por eso.
I undergoing that, and I know that you have also lived through that.
Y gracias a mi madrina.
Thanks to my sponsor.
No quiero pasar por eso que tú ya pasaste.
I don't want to go back to relive something that I've already done so.
Gracias por estar aquí.
Thank you so much for letting me be here.
Gracias. I know, and one of the promises it says, we'll see how our experience can benefit others. I didn't know how my experience of compulsive eating would help other people, but knowing that I don't have to do that today is a freaking miracle, you know, knowing that I suffered from this disease, and I definitely didn't think it was a great thing. I thought it was the worst thing that it could ever happen to me, but it actually turns out to be the best when I'm in recovery. Because I can see other people suffering. I can see how they can't move up the stairs. And it breaks my heart because I know I've been there. I couldn't walk up the stairs without breathing heavy. And it was very painful to live that way. And I don't take it for granted that I get to fit in an airplane seat today, that my legs don't rub together, that I don't have to hyperventilate just walking up the stairs. That's a miracle. Just the physical recovery by itself is a miracle. But the emotional and spiritual is just, I mean, it's beyond words. Hi, Gloria. And I didn't think I had any value or worth, you know. That's why I ate. That's a lot of why I ate, you know, because I was alone and suffering and just didn't feel like I had any, I wasn't a very contributing member of society. I hid in my room and I ate. That's what I did. That was my life. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't even want to be that person anymore. That's a miracle. Anybody else want to share? Please.
Ruth, compulsive overeater. I was thinking about that second question that you asked about why we can help compulsive eaters when other people can't. And what came up for me is that I know one of the predominant emotions or experiences that I had as a compulsive eater is shame. I lived in so much shame, shame of being fat, shame of not being able to control my eating, shame of just being alone all the time and not knowing how to deal with people, not knowing how to talk to people, constant shame. And thinking back to all the things that I tried to control my eating and my weight, and all the things people tried to help me to do it, were all shame-based. They were going to shame me into losing weight. They were going to shame, you know, all the diets out there are all shame-based, right? It's all about you're bad, we're going to show you how to be good, and then you'll be thin, and a lot of shame. And I even remember I always tell this story, I went to a hypnotist because I thought, because I had a friend who stopped smoking by going to a hypnotist, and they said they retrain your brain to say you don't want to smoke. So I thought, well, you can train my brain to say I don't want to eat. Sounds great. So I go to this hypnotist, and it's a man sitting behind a desk, and I walk in, and I'm huge, and I'm miserable, and I, you know, and full of shame. And he says, why are you here? And I said, well, I want to stop eating because I want to lose the weight. And he looked at me and he said, well, let's be honest. You're never going to be the type of woman that walks across the street and a man looks at you twice. And horrible, right? Horrible. And I went to him 6 more times and paid him. And it never worked, ever, ever worked. But it was the shame. I was familiar with that shame. He shamed me, but it fit with how I felt about myself because I walked around in shame about who I was, what I looked like, how, you know, the insides of me. And the thing about another compulsive eater, you know, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. I've said things that have maybe hurt somebody's feelings. I am sure I've told a sponsee something they didn't like, right? But there's no shame here. I do not feel shamed here. As a matter of fact, when I walked into my first meeting, it was the first time in my life that I didn't feel shame. That there was a room full of people who didn't look at me like I was a freak and didn't want to not sit next to me because I could be contagious, right? Or yell at me, you fat pig, as they're driving by, which are all things that happened to me, right? So all that shame. And it was the first time in my life, in my first meeting, that I sat there and I didn't have shame. And that's why I think we can help each other. That's why I think even if we don't say the right thing or we don't know the answer or anything, we do not treat each other with shame. And it's a miracle because out there, behind these doors, it's all shame. So we have to support each other, and we have to treat each other without shame and without respect, you know, with respect. And then I can go out there in the world, and I can deal with the a-holes of the world that think it's still okay to abuse fat people and to shun them and to humiliate them. It's not okay, but they still do it. But today, I don't live in shame, so it doesn't affect me. And today I'm not fat, so, but, you know, it's funny because I still think of myself as a fat person, right? So I may not look fat, but I'm still a fat person. I've been a fat person my whole life. I live with that. But today I don't have to live in shame. So just glad to be here. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jay, also eater. And thank you for sharing. I really appreciate it. Thank everybody that does their work. I just wanted to clarify something that in my area, there's a little misconception that if you're a full-service sponsor, and Ruth helped me with this, thank you very much. If you're a full-service sponsor and you go out and you come back and you get 30 days, you're not a full-service sponsor again. You have to work in and get that done. So if you ever hear anybody qualified that says, there, I'm a full-service and I've got 35 days, that's not the case. What you have to do, you don't have to do that inventory again, but you do have to wait that 60 days, another 30 days to qualify as an inventory sponsor. And then you have to wait another 30 days to qualify as a maintenance sponsor, whether you did the questions or anything. And so it's like that. So I just see that in my area a lot as a misconception. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
I feel extremely grateful to be over here representing the UK and Europe and to be at this meeting. It's my first meeting, first convention, and my actual second in-person meeting. Now, I know COVID... Thank you. I know COVID has been horrible for many people, but COVID has actually saved my life. I would not have found about this program had it not been for COVID. I'm in another fellowship program, and I've never, ever been understood anywhere that I've been in my life until I came into my other program. And then into this program, it's like somebody finally gets me. However, I was very interested in the how of the program. Honest. And I thought, I'm a brutally honest person. I'm not. I'm a fucking liar, excuse me. And I'm very open until you tell me what to do. And willing depends on the day, and it depends on, you know, if I actually am willing. So did I need this program? Absolutely, absolutely. But what I love about the program is I get to choose. I get to choose a sponsor, and I get to choose whether I want to sponsor somebody. When I came into the program, I was just told very little as, you might be interested in our program. Here you go. Here's a meeting time. So I went on, and of course, I was at that point where if I gain another ounce, I'm going to explode, and I'm willing to do anything as long as it's what I want to do. And of course, you know, I love when you said, how's that working for you? Because that's always been my life thing. How's that working for you, Karen? Well, it doesn't. Most things in my life have not worked for me. And so having guidelines and having somebody to have to actually speak to and commit my food to and my question to was absolutely what I need. And what I love about the program is it's all in a book. I don't have to make it up. I just have to follow it. And I do what my sponsor has done for me, and that's what I do with my sponsee. And so far, it seems to be working. And I'm fairly new in the program. God willing, next month will be 2 years. Mm-hmm. Now, I've never done anything for that length of time ever in my life. In fact, when I started on the program, my husband said to me, you know, can you start it on Monday? I said, no, I'm starting it today. I don't care what you think. This is now about me. I'm doing my program, and it has absolutely nothing to do with you. And I've had fights with his family. I've had fights with loads of people. And I said, why do you all care, all of a sudden, what I'm doing with my life and what I'm eating? You never cared before, and now you seem to care. However, then it was, I can hardly wait for the 30 days to be over because you'll be off onto something else. And I said, and maybe I will. I don't know. But I'm going to do 30 days, and if it isn't any good, I won't do any more, and I'll go back to doing what I've always done, gain and lose 100 pounds, I don't know how many times. My skin shows it. You can all see I'm hanging and sagging. But with this program, I've actually got to know who I am. Well, no, I have to rephrase that. I'm getting to know who I am becoming, because I'm not who I thought I was. And I told my husband that a few months ago, and he's like, "Who are you?" And I go, "I don't know. Seriously, I don't know." I said, "If you stick around, we'll both find out together who I am, because I don't know. I mean, I am all these things I thought I was, and I'm not any of that." And that's what this program has given me, the realization, what's in there? A fat person that wanted to get out, a fat person that's been in prison forever. I'm probably going off on the whole wrong thing. But anyway, 30 days into the program, then I had the 30-day celebration, but it's not that. The step up, yes. Oh, was that emotional? Oh, that was really emotional for me and life-changing as well. And then, of course, I decided I'm going to do day 31 and then just, you know, each day as we go along. And then my sponsor said to me, "Now you can be a food sponsor." Oh, my God, the fear. I thought, I hope nobody asks me. Please, nobody asks me, because I don't know what I'm doing. And that's what it is, isn't it? So we've got these books to help us, and all I can do is share what I've been given. And it's amazing when you actually do sponsor somebody, I get more than my sponsee ever gets out of me. That is for sure. Every day I'm given more gifts. And somebody said about looking in the mirror, it is. It's a mirror right back to me. And I learn so much, and I'm given so much. And I'm thinking, you know, I always thought, if you're a sponsor, what a privilege. And I'm thinking, you know, how blessed to be able to be a sponsor and have somebody actually tell you all their deep, dark secrets, you know. And I can relate to every single one of them. Surprisingly, I've done that too. Actually, nothing ever surprises me anymore. And it's so nice to be with people that have the same madness in their head, that have done the same crazy things that I've done, and I know I'm not alone. So, yeah, it's brilliant. I've totally gone off, haven't I, onto something else. Anyway, I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you, all of you, because you've given me a lot.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing.
I'm Marianne. The sponsorship has just been an amazing experience for me, and I was in a sister program, I won't say the name of it, where it was notorious in the 12-step community in Charlotte that there were some terrible sponsors in there. And in this program, the sponsorship has been extraordinary, the people that came into my life, and the sponsees that are coming in. Wow. I feel so privileged to get to know these people. And, you know, my life is so good. I don't know how I got this blessed. I really don't. You know, it's like I'm wearing white pants. Now, if you all are like me, you got increasingly larger sizes of black pants that you thought would make you look thinner. And I probably was deluded into thinking that it actually did. But now, you know, it's like everything I buy keeps on fitting. And I like that. You know, when I got back into program, I got abstinent in that program in 2009, that sister program, and I got the weight off. 80 pounds, and that program was not the right program for me. It was the right at the time, but long term it wasn't, and I dropped out of program, and I did not put the weight back on, but I got crazy, and a stressful situation comes along, and I didn't have the support or the emotional resilience to get through it. So this time I got back in, I came in for the sanity and regained the vanity, because self-esteem has and self-love, it just seems to be really trendy right now. And I've been working on it, and I feel pretty good about myself. And, you know, Can I confess up to y'all? When I was in my 20s, I stopped telling people how old I was because I didn't want anybody to know how old I was. I hit 70 this year, and I'm so proud. I tell everybody. I loved aging gracefully this morning with that workshop. Anyway, anybody want to take this?
Gloria Grateful, recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Gloria.
And I'm glad to be here. And that concept of we can help another compulsive overeater when no one else can. I'm sure she won't mind. Debbie and I were in Hawaii together. And one of the sisters came with me to Hawaii. She did not have an intention of recommitting. She did not. And I was not her sponsor. We just been in the rooms together for a long time. And the grace of this program and the miracle of this program. Before we left Hawaii, she said, thank you. I'm coming back. And so that's the miracle of this program. The sponsorship, we got each other. My sponsor got me. When I'm falling off the hill, she got me. But seeing each other in those outreach calls and that connecting in this convention and retreats are what keeps us in this room. And that question so relates to that testimony that I just asked her to come. I said, hey, come on, go to Hawaii. She said, oh, okay, I will. And it turned into her recommitting and coming back to the program. And that's how we help each other, keep each other from falling off the cliff. Because without that, even sometimes we get mad at each other, without that, we would still be out running, you know, running the races. So, you know, even some of us, wherever we are, when we come in these rooms, we know we're home. And we know there's no judgment, there's no shaming, there's acceptance. You know, it's a relapse and recovery meeting at 4:30 my time. Some of y'all may get on, but it says, you know, we are exactly where we need to be. So that means that sometimes people love us until we get there. But right now, we're exactly where we need to be. And that's what we do as compulsive overeaters. Lift one another. As I reach down, we bring somebody else, and somebody else done the same thing for me. That's the best way I can explain it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Gloria.
I am Bud C., and I am a compulsive eater. And this is my lovely wife. She done great. And, you know, one recovering compulsive eater can help another compulsive eater, there's no doubt. But you got to find the one. And I found that one. He's in L.A., Danny. Danny L., me and him just ID'd right off the bat. And I ain't got a clue why, because he's an Ohio State fan. As you can see, I'm a Clemson Tiger fan. And on the football field, we hate each other. I mean, it's over. It's on when we get together like that. But Danny took me right through everything that I've done, right through using the guide. I stepped up to each step as the days come up. I mean, I was on it. I answer a question every day. I answer a question, sometimes two every day. And I was hungry to keep this weight off because it had come to the point, just like in the other program, when I stopped, if I hadn't stopped it, I'd be dead from doing what I was doing there. That was 94. It took me till 257 days ago to finally surrender to this program. And it was the addiction that I had ever since I was 2 years old. But today, every day when I call Danny, he's the one that helps me. And I have a sponsee now. He goes in and out, in and out, in and out. And but I'm still there, welcoming him back. And every time he commits his food to me, I tell him that's outstanding, you know. And so the deal for me is hopefully that we'll all find somebody, and I did, that works for me. Danny, he's not my higher power, but he is my friend. He's my sponsor, and he wants me to do things right, and I try to on a daily basis. And thank God, you know, I'm just a disciple of this program. And that's it. And, you know, the great disciples, they was one. So, you know, I'm going to be okay. We got this. The man is the higher power. And with that, I want to thank all you.
Thank you, bud. Third step prayer. Sounds good to me.
So I'll link up if you want to.